SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
It's Pharrell on the bench, coast to coast in the biggest way possible, hanging out. The bad seed, the broken head, the bad apple with a bad attitude. We are live in New York City, the Big Apple. Ooh. People dressed in plastic bags, directing traffic, some kind of fashion check it up, should do me. Along with, he's got his golf hat on today, President's Cup style, and he's north of the border. With his heart and soul in Montreal, Quebec. That's Morenci's hometown. It's Carver High, ladies and gentlemen. Mafia running it along with Luca Milvada. The rundown on a thirsty Thursday. A double shot with Sports Rage here in the first hour from Vancouver. And then later in the hour, Chris Stewart, the voice of Alabama football, getting ready for the Bulldogs. Saturday night at Bryant Denny Stadium in Tuscaloosa, Alabama. And then in the final hour, a double shot with Bust a Cap in Your Ass himself, Adam Kaplan, our NFL insider. We've got Brian Daboll going on in the majors. Several games today, Carver High, happening as we speak. Can you give me an update? And obviously, we'll talk about the golf throughout the day here, is there is a lot of money changing hands on every hole and a lot of cocktail and beer drinking on the golf course.
There certainly is. Happy Thursday here on Coast to Coast. And we do have a lot of stuff going on live for us as we get started here in the afternoon. First, the day ball for you and two games of high significance in terms of the American League playoff race. First of all, the Royals are in D.C. finishing up that series with the Nationals. Now 4-4. They are playing in the eighth, so tons of runs early in this game. It was 4-4 after three. Zeros across the board since. Garcia Jr. had a big three-run homer for the Nats to tie it in the bottom of the third. Nothing has come across since then. And significant because in the other one, the Tigers, Scotty, losing 3-2 at home to the Rays right now in the bottom of the seventh. Ed Comerica. So Royals tied, Tigers losing, Twins playing tonight, which we will talk about later on as they are hanging by a thread two games back of each of them. They're hoping that the Rays can do them a favor, Scotty, and give them a chance to get it to one tonight. But the Royals still have work to do as well here this afternoon in D.C. The Pirates are playing too. They're down 5-2, bottom of the eighth at PNC against the Brewers, and the Angels and the White Sox in the basically family and friends only to either watch or be in that game. Scoreless in the fourth inning between those two. But the Royals and the Tigers are who we're keeping our eyes on, obviously.
Yeah, and then they're going to have a couple more games starting here in a few minutes. What do you got there?
Yes, we do have the Cardinals and the Rockies finishing up at Coors Field. Kyle Gibson and Kyle Freeland will be the pitching matchup. Cardinals slight favorite, minus -115. Big fat 10.5. Is the total. Last few games for Charlie Blackman, too, in Colorado, Scotty. So maybe you want to take a long shot, a long ball with him this afternoon against a guy like Gibson who gives up plenty of long balls.
Very emotional for Blackman, obviously, and no one else.
That's pretty true. speaking of emotional, very emotional in Oakland this afternoon, as this is the last time the A's will play at the dump. The world-famous ashtray in Oakland, the Oakland Alameda Coliseum, for the last time host baseball, as the A's will have JT Ginn. Kumar Rocker goes for the Rangers. A's are minus -115. Total is 7.5. Do all the A's faithful get sent home with a win the last time they get to see him in the Bay Area?
I would think so. And I'll tell you what, you know, the fondest memories I have of the place are really Charlie Finley and the A's. When I was a kid, I don't know how it happened. I don't care to remember. but I know that my father was friends with Charlie Finley, and he used to have a farm in LaPorte, Indiana, believe it or not, and he used to have a franchise, party. It was like a barbecue, like a real humdinger out on the farm. And when you used to drive whatever the highway was there in Indiana, I kind of going to South Bend or something. It's on the way. There's this giant barn that used to have the A's logo on it. And then, obviously, all the glory years of the A's were with Charlie Finley and Vita Blue, Raleigh Fingers. They had such a great franchise when they played there back in the day. And Oakland was jumping. And then it turned into a drug-ravaged neighborhood and a drug-ravaged and hooker-filled city. It's an actual dump. And they're always trying to sell you on the beauty of California, except for that butt stain up in Northern California, where all of the franchise fled and ran for their lives. The best thing about that ballpark back in the day was you could score, like, not runs, but after the game, within minutes of getting out of the stadium to your car, they were sweeping through the parking lot selling, and you know what I'm talking about. The place has been a shack hole for 40, 50 years. I mean, I cannot even fathom that they're still playing a baseball game there today. Everyone else is gone. The city's a hellhole. And you know, it's funny, I say it, and they try to defend the place. Are you kidding me? Like, seriously, it's one of the worst places in America. It really is. I mean, Gary, Indiana, and Oakland, California. I mean, they're both hell on earth. What could be better than this is the final day of playing in that mistake? What a disaster that place is. And I'm right about everything I just said about the community, too. No one wants to be there. No one wants to live there. No one can live there safely or anything else. It literally is hell on earth. People are like, is there a devil? Yes. Beelzebub lives in Oakland, California, it turns out.
Yes. Like you said, they're all gone after today. The Warriors have left. The Raiders have left. now after today, the Athletics will be gone. Sacramento, here they come for you afterwards. All right. The golf is going on this afternoon as well. President's Cup, Royal Montreal. With the international team against the United States, all five matches are still on the course, Scotty. Tony Finau and Xander Schauffele are two up on Jason Day and Ben On. They are on the 13th hole. Adam Scott and Minwoo Lee are one up on Colin Morikawa and Sahith Tagala. They are through 11. USA leads in every other match. Scheffler and Henley are up one on Tom Kim and Sung Jae Im. Keegan Bradley and Wyndham Clark are up one on Bezuidenhout and Pendrith. And Patrick Cantlay and Sam Burns are one up on Matsuyama and Corey Connors. So close matches here, Scotty. But all of them, four of the five, shading to the United States side so far.
Your boy, the Bezuidenhout adventure, is out on the course. So he's on that team. What I've seen is the great chipping from not only the X-Man, but Tony Finau leaving, 50-foot chips. And here he is again, X-Man, with another chip at 13. All they do is hit chips, these two guys, within an inch of the hole. I mean, it is one. I mean, there's another one. I mean, they are absolutely nailing chips and putts, and that's why they're winning. And it's not even bad out there. I noticed the obviously, the patrons are mostly wearing, sweaters and jackets. But the players have taken off theirs, and they're playing. It's sunny and beautiful in Montreal, if you can imagine, because usually it's crappy there.
Yep. They were all out with the sweaters this morning, but they've taken them off. The sun's out middle of the day, and they're feeling good here as everybody's about to hit the back nine. Down the stretch, they come first day of the President's Cup, of course. We have a ton of football to get through today as well. Giants and the Cowboys at MetLife tonight. We kick off week number four. The Cowboys, Giants have no chance tonight against the Cowboys. No chance. There's even a college football game for you too, Scotty. Army. Temple, if you want to get involved tonight.
Army big tonight, baby. They're 3-0, the cadets. Let's go.
They are.
They're going to the Link in Philly for some of that stripper pole tailgating out in the parking lot.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Catch Sports Race from 9 to 10 on all of our outlets, on streaming networks, TV stations, radio stations, and satellite radio as well on SiriusXM channel 159. More importantly, you can catch him on Coast to Coast every day here with a double shot from Vancouver. He's sporting his Jim Kelly Canes jersey. I have the same one. We get a reaction wherever we wear it. And I want to know if you think that Allen's better than Jim Kelly yet.
I think that Josh Allen's a better quarterback than Jim Kelly.
That's dangerous stuff.
Right, strong there. Words.
That's dangerous. That's very dangerous.
Strong words.
I think. I don't know. But, I mean, the guy went.
No,
to
but I'm talking from an athletic standpoint. From an athletic standpoint. Like, I don't think Jim Kelly would argue with us. I don't think Jim Kelly would say, oh, I'm as athletic as Josh Allen, right?
He didn't run.
Josh Allen, Jim Kelly's a Hall of Famer, right? So Josh Allen, I think Josh Allen will be a Hall of Famer as well when it's all said and done. But from an athletic standpoint, I think Josh Allen's better, Scott, but, you know, Jim Kelly's still the man. Josh Allen hasn't accomplished what Jim Kelly has with the Bills. So I'm not elevating Josh Allen above Jim Kelly and Bills, like, you know, the Bills' level of fame here or importance, Scott, but he's a better quarterback. Let's just be real. I mean, it's the modern era. He's bigger, he's faster, he's stronger, right? Jim Kelly's a stud, but I think Josh Allen's a better quarterback.
Yeah, listen, I'm not going to argue with you about his running ability, but I mean, as a thrower, Jim Kelly was better than Josh Allen. I mean, Jim Kelly may have been one of the greatest arms and on the money passers I ever saw in NFL history, and that's why he's in the Hall of Fame. His numbers are staggering. I don't care what era you play in. Watching him at Miami and with the Bills, listen, I've always believed that is the greatest team I ever saw not win a Super Bowl. To go to that many Super Bowls and not win.
I was thinking about that as well.
It just wasn't realistic. I couldn't understand it. It never made sense to me how they destroyed the AFC for years on end. They had a dynasty and they never won it.
That first one was the one. And people talk about Norwood missing the kick. You know, it's funny. Look how times change, Scott. That was a 47-yarder, and there was no guarantees he was going to make it. Right now, you miss a 47-yarder, and you're never kicking again, right? It's sort of like, well, you're supposed to make it from 52 type of deal. So that's what I'm saying as far as athleticism. Times change. But you know, the reason the Bills lost that game, they couldn't stop Otis Anderson, right? The Giants dominated the time of possession. The Giants had the football for 41 minutes to the Bills' 19. I know the Bills set a record because they scored 19 points in 19 minutes, the first time a team ever scored a point a minute with their time of possession in the Super Bowl before. They just fell short. And it was the first and the last one, right? They lost the first one. And like Scott said, guys, the Bills were freaking dominant. Like, they were the best team, right? Them and San Francisco were on, like, a collision course but never played each other. Remember, Scott, Dan Marino and the Dolphins were good. I mean, that was, you know, they had Duper. Yeah. They had Clayton, right? It was, like, the real deal, the Miami Dolphins. Yeah. The Bills and Dolphins had a rivalry. The Bills always, you know, just sort of beat them. And I remember the AFC Conference Championship game. They beat the Raiders 51-3. Like, that's how good the Bills were. It was like, this team's a juggernaut. Like, they're going to win the Super Bowl. They play the Giants. They were 7-point favorites against the Giants. They lose 20-19. They make it back to the Super Bowl the following year. They played the Washington Redskins. That's the one that was disappointing. Like, it just sort of fell apart. That was Kelly's. Kelly had a bad game in that one. The third one was the blowout where it was embarrassing. Dallas smoked them. And then the fourth one, Buffalo were leading Dallas at the half, and I actually felt, wow, this might actually be it. We're going to get it this time. You know what I mean? It was revenge against Dallas. They were up at the half, right. And then they fumbled the ball in the third quarter to start the second half. The wheels fell off, and the rest is history. Hopefully Josh Allen could do what Jim Kelly didn't and finish what Jim Kelly started, right? Let's just see if Josh Allen can finish what they started. I think they're going to beat Baltimore on Sunday, and I know you're going for them because you're a Steeler fan. Yeah. So big game for the Steelers. Big game. Hey, Steelers beat the Colts, Scott, and the Bills beat the Ravens. You guys are gonna win this freaking division, bro. Like, you'll be 4-0. Everyone's gonna be buried behind you. You're in a really good spot. Big Sunday coming up for everybody.
Yeah, obviously I hope they don't screw it up in Indy. I went to the last game with the Steelers and Colts on a Monday night, whatever it was, a year ago, and the Steelers beat them in Indianapolis, and I am rooting for the Bills. I'll tell you what else. Like, obviously, I went to Steelers. I do not feel that with Fields that they are an AFC title team. I do feel the Bills have a shot if they're healthy and their defense is standing on that field in January and not, on the sidelines injured and not able to play. If they're healthy and you got this quarterback and you got these pack of wolves receivers like Shakir and Coleman, and it goes on and on, tight ends, that they could be the one that finally knocks Kansas City out of it. Anything but Kansas City when we go to New Orleans. Anything but Kansas City. I'll take the Bills all day.
They need the top seed, the Bills. And it's not so much, listen, we've seen the Bills lose playoff games at home before, but it is a tough place to play. You've got weather as a factor the later it gets in the season. And quite frankly, it's just one less game you have to play. So that's the whole thing if you're the Buffalo Bills. The Bills have made it hard on themselves in the past. They seem to have that extra edge and focus. Still a lot of football left. One thing about the Steelers is, will Fields stay healthy? I sort of get the feeling that at some point we're going to see Wilson, whether you guys want it or not, and or Fields stays healthy and just keeps getting better. And on a weekly basis, Scott, like your offense, the Steelers' offense is a work in progress. Put it this way. You look at, like, Michigan and the Steelers a little bit similar. Like, they're grinding through. They're getting it done with defense. They're running the ball. But there's a little bit of hope on your offense. Like, Michigan, like, it's like, now, listen, we're just going to have to run the ball all year, guys. This is it. Like, point blank, we're running the ball. I think Pittsburgh's offense can keep on developing each week. Justin Fields is still learning. He's still a raw quarterback. He doesn't have a ton of experience. He's got new teammates, and his confidence is starting to grow, Scott. I think you got something special going on in Pittsburgh right now.
Yeah, they actually had a great game against the Chargers. The Austin 55-yarder, they were throwing to Freiermuth a lot. The bottom line is they showed for the first time in years that they can move the ball and throw the ball.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
So, Morenzi, I used to fly out of that Oakland airport every weekend because I did a show in San Francisco, two of them, TV and radio, Sports Channel America and KNBR. And on weekends, Saturday morning, I would fly to John Wayne in Orange County and then go home to Huntington Beach. I had a couple homes there, and I love Surf City. That's where I like hanging out. I don't hang out in – now, listen, I love San Francisco. It's a great city. But Oakland, you talk about stores. They have the bulletproof plastic in front of everything. There's no glass. They'll break glass. That's like robbers in a jewelry store. They'll break the glass. You got to have the bulletproof plastic where it'll take any kind of beating.
Well, that's,
and then
that's
you tell
thing,
me
Scott.
What happens in Vancouver with the junkie. Tell people what you just said to me.
Well, it's the same thing. Like, Oakland, they'll steal whatever's not nailed down, man, right? And Vancouver, it's a West Coast thing, right? The weather's nice. You've got like a bunch of zombies sort of roaming the streets, right? San Francisco's like that. I love San Francisco, too. I didn't feel in danger. I was there a couple of years ago. I was fine. But I can understand how it freaks normal people out, right? You're like, holy. Right? So in Oakland, that's the whole thing, guys. I'm not saying that this Fisher guy's a good guy, okay? No, very few owners are good guys. So I'm not defending Fisher. But this, like, pure vitriol hate for him, Scott, and sell the team in order to stay in Oakland. Where was that for Mark Davis? The Warriors just left. And I tell you what, 85% of the people who live in Oakland, if they had enough money, they would leave too, Scott.
Yeah. All right?
I don't want to be like that guy, but I know you are. We live in a fact-based world. Me and Scott, we love the Bay Area. I love it out there.
Love it.
I'm not walking around. I'm not, dude, there's an In-N-Out Burger that's been there for like 70 freaking years. They had to close it. It got robbed too many times. The cops can't show up on time because there's too many robberies. It's easy for everyone to sit on the couch and say, oh, they should stay. The players don't. The players got to worry about if their car's going to be there when they come back out of the stadium after the game. You know what I mean? Every team that plays in Oakland stays in San Francisco. the Warriors left. Everybody left. So what? The A's are the bad guys somehow? And I'm not defending Fisher. He's a terrible owner. He didn't pay players. He didn't do this. I get that. Neither do they don't do it in Pittsburgh either. Right? And the whole thing is, too, like, people don't get it. I don't want to get political here, but Oakland has real problems. They can't pay their police department. Nobody wants to be a fireman there. Their city budget is whacked. Crime is out of control. If I had billions of dollars, I tell you what, Scott, I wouldn't say, you know what, Scott, you and I are rich. Why don't we put a baseball team in Oakland? That'll work. It's done. You know what I mean? You can put the blame at this and that and everybody else. The fact is, they've got to get their city back together right now. And they are. It's not like hell on earth or anything like that.
Yeah, it is.
But we're talking about billions of dollars. Like, put it this way, when you talk about, like, the city and stuff. Like, when Montreal lost the Expos, it's like, man, you know, that's all these teams that stay in hotels. They don't even stay in Oakland, players. They stay in San Francisco. You know, like, they don't even stay in Oakland. So, like, they're not really losing. You know, what revenue are they losing? The stadium is a freaking hellhole dump. It has more rats than fans in that stadium. Like, literally. Right. There's, like, there's possum in the press box, remember? Like, and another thing is, too, Scott, I don't want to be a jerk and everything, but Sacramento's 90 minutes away. Chill out, right? You know what I mean? It's not like you're moving to the other side of the country here or like that. I get it. Going to Vegas after.
Yeah, listen, it's not, and it's so funny because Carver High calls it Sacro Tomato. It can't be good when you're going from hell on earth to Sacro Tomato.
Oh, no, Sacramento. No, Scott, I'm going to defend Sacramento. Sacramento's an up-and-coming city here. Nice to see them join the big leagues.
I've done shows there. I was on 1140. I think it was KHDK. You remember all the stations you were on. I want to get your opinion really quick. I have no problem with Sacro Tomato, whatever he calls it. Listen, I got to get your opinion on seeing this golf course in Quebec because it's so beautiful from above, and the sun's out today for the first time in 5 years in Montreal. But people don't realize that live here because people here are stupid. I mean, Montreal turns into literally Russia in the winter. It is so cold and snowy there. I mean,
it's a total extreme. In the summertime in Montreal, it's like as muggy and as hot as like Mississippi.
Right.
It's just this sort of like there's no wind, there's no breeze. It's just this thick. You're like, God, is it hot? And then suddenly it just flicks, and you're like, oh, my God, this is like Siberia. You're like your nose is frozen, and, like, you walk in Montreal, you just hear that like, ice snow.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
All right, so back on Coast to Coast on this Thursday. Good to have Morenci on. We had some great stories there. I'm watching the golf, Carver High. You've got a lot happening here. And then we're going to get into Pain Day, which begins tonight in earnest in the Meadowlands in East Rutherford, New Jersey, otherwise known as across the river and through the woods, under the tunnels into New Jersey. You go 5 minutes outside of Manhattan, and there you have it. It's the lovely Meadowlands Cancer Research Center, otherwise known as Snoopy. What a miserable place that is. Your boy, Luke, I am your father, is going to the G-Man big blue game tonight, Carver High, immediately after C2C.
Wow, how about that? Luke making his way up the turnpike to the Giant game tonight. Good for him. He'll get there in plenty of time, no problem whatsoever. One other update here for you before I move on to this, because like we said, there's a lot of live action going on this afternoon for us, and things have changed in both of the spots with importance of the American League game, Scotty. The Royals scored 3 in the top of the 9th inning against the Nationals in D.C. They are one out away from securing the win there against the Nats. 7-4, Royals lead the Nationals. And now that is a final. Royals win in D.C. against the Nats. So they did what they had to do, Scotty. They went to D.C. and they sweep the Nationals, get themselves off of the schneid. Next, the Tigers, who were down the entire day against the Rays, they have come back They scored two in the bottom of the eighth, and now they lead the Rays 4-3. They are one out away from also winning their game. So the Royals and the Tigers, Scotty, with some late-inning heroics, both going to get wins, both going to get sweeps against inferior opponents going into the weekend.
What is the is Detroit, they won 9 of 10 and 4 straight?
Yes, Detroit right now has won 1, 2, 3, 4. They've won 4 straight going into today, and 8 of their last 9 going into today.
Right, so they would go to 10 and 5 straight. Yes.
Correct.
Now,
and remember,
that is a team that you can sink your teeth into in the playoffs. They got the best pitcher in baseball. He's going to, like, triple crown of baseball, of pitching. He's literally everything, right? Wins, ERA, strikeouts. Is that what it is? I think it is.
Yeah, triple crown.
He leads in all departments.
All three he does. And remember, the Tigers play the White Sox this weekend to finish up. 3 games against Chicago, who I know won the last couple days, but they were playing the Angels, which is why they've won. They are a little hot. They play the Angels, but... basically, Scotty, with both these teams winning now, the Twins, who play tonight again against Miami, they're going to need to win to keep hope and stay 2 back. Twins lose tonight, they will be a full 3 games behind both teams with only 3 games to play. So that is putting yourself up against the wall. They would need a sweep and someone else to get swept in order to pull that off. So there you go, the baseball update for you. With MLB. All right, let's get to tonight. Like you said, the Cowboys and the Giants at MetLife, NFL week number 4 kicks off. Of course, the Giants, Scotty, got booed out of MetLife in week number 1 when they lost to the Vikings. They've gone on the road the past couple weeks. Decent performance in Washington, didn't have a kicker, couldn't get the job done. A win in Cleveland against the Browns, and suddenly the Giants come home with a little bit of gas in the tank. Brian Daboll hopes that the fans will be with them for it.
What do you say to your fan base entering this game?
Yeah, I'd say they were. Again, I would just say that over the last 2 games on the road, too, been outstanding support on the road. At Washington, it was outstanding. At Cleveland, there was a lot of people. So, again, our job is to go out there and play and perform well and, you know, love our fans and hopefully give them something to cheer about.
I mean, you know, I swear I would love to see them win tonight. I mean, I got to be honest with you, because of all I've heard, how, you know, you think they were playing the Chiefs the way the media knobs the Cowboys. Like, you think they're playing a team that's, you know, just absolutely impossible to beat, and that they're a dynasty, and that they have no chance whatsoever. We heard yesterday, no chance whatsoever. This game's over. They shouldn't even play it. I've been hearing that all week, that the Giants are awful and the Cowboys are so great. And I think the Cowboys suck, and they have sucked so far this year. They have done nothing. They've done absolutely nothing. They beat the Browns, who have become Cinderella. Like, right? What happened to the Browns? They were a darling last year, and what are they now? They're back to having the career massager as their quarterback. Your boy loves the masseur. It's Captain Masseur and the Brownies. They're back to being their normal selves, where they suck and don't matter. That's who the Cowboys beat. So let's calm down on the Dallas failure in the playoffs. Cowboys, they're worse than any team I've seen in the playoffs in the last 30 years. They lose every time they play. And I bet on Green Bay last year. And, I mean, it's every year they go and lose. So the Niners, I bet on them the year before that. Like, it's just, if Dallas has got a game, it don't matter if it's home or road. In fact, I think they'd be better off playing on the road in the playoffs, because they can't win at home.
They probably would at this point. Of course, they have been run over at home the last couple of weeks by the Saints and the Ravens. We talked a little bit yesterday about Micah Parsons, right? How had a lot to say on his podcast. Doesn't have as much to say in the locker room when the reporters are there, Scotty. In fact, he seems like he's in just a flat-out bad mood this week after a couple bad performances by the defense.
Pressure? So good week one, not non-existent week 2 and 3. How do you get back?
Well, people got passed the ball, huh? I mean, what, I pass rushed 10 times in the last 2 games?
15, 16 attempts, I think. Passing attempts.
So it starts with stopping the run, then?
I mean, that's pretty blatant. I mean, first game, they dropped back 40 times, and 2 and 3, 15 times, unheard of football, so.
Do you think everybody's gotten the message that's been emanating around here about being professional and following your game plan and your assignment.
I mean, everyone says it, but then again, we got to see what happens on Sunday. Thursday.
You don't even know what day it is. My man, you know, look, that face right there is a guy that's saying, screaming, no. There's no one in here that can. I've told you before, how many times have I told you that pro athletes, and now people say I'm crazy, but I'm friends with a lot of these guys. I know them. And they don't care about anything. They don't care about winning. They really don't. All they want is that money. That is it. And none of them will admit it publicly. The only guy, you just don't see anyone stand up and say, you know, I swear to God, I am here for the money. And I don't really give a rat's ass if we win or not. I would honestly, I'll quit doing this job for a living if someone finally just admits I'm here for the money. I no other reason. I don't even like my teammates. I'm not friends with anybody. I'm here to make money. And I want to get out of here with my legs on. And I want to be able to walk when I'm 65 years old. They don't play to win and for rings. People say I'm crazy. I'm not crazy. They tell me right to my face. How drunk do you have to be to not absorb that they are there for the money? That guy right there is like, there's not one guy in here that cares about winning. That's what that face was right there. And don't tell me I'm not a mind reader. That guy was like, did they get the message? There ain't nobody in here that knows how to play or win or want to win. No one wants to win on that team. They just want the money. And no one likes saying it or hearing it or discussing it. And let me tell you something else. College football now is about money. It ain't about winning. And it certainly isn't about going to class. The days of college athletics of some kid going, when's the last time you heard a game? He's got a 3.7 GPA in business administration. They used to do it every game, Keith Jackson, when I was growing up. And now they don't even talk about college at all, going to school, going to class. Are you kidding me? These guys are driving around in $200,000 cars on campus with hookers sitting in the back seat and blow in the front. Are you kidding me? They're trying to get paid. And I'm right about everything. Wrap it up. Mic drop. Thanks so much for coming.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Chris Stewart is the voice of the Alabama Crimson Tide. And with that, it comes lofty expectations. That is a big-time gig. In sports broadcasting, being the voice of Alabama football, for one, what did you think when you got that call, and how's it been going for you to have those shoes on?
Yeah, Scotty, first of all, my apologies. Here I am on, you know, one of the big time shows in America, and I look like I just cut cutting grass, but I was running errands, and I'm sorry, I came in wheels hot, so. If you ever give me another shot, I promise we'll try to trick everybody and look a little better. But no, it's been a dream of a lifetime. It really has. I mean, I grew up in an Alabama fan, knew the guys that preceded me in John Forney, who did it for 30 years, and Paul Kennedy, still does Tampa Bay Lightning work. And of course, Eli Gold is a legend and Hall of Famer, and knew all those guys, worked with Eli. And to be only the fourth in about 65 years to have the privilege of calling Alabama events is incredibly special. So, yeah, I'm very, very thankful for the opportunity.
Yeah, I know Eli pretty well. He did the show for years. And, you know, he's a legend. And now you've got that job and you're going to be incredible. What a blessing in life to land a gig like that. It's a premier job in you know, not only college football, but in sports in general, doing everything. Alabama, I mean, I have friends that have kids that have gone to school there. It's quite an experience. And you know that Saturday night's going to be rocking at Bryant Denny in Tuscaloosa. That game itself, it does not get any bigger than that in college football. I don't care when the game is. I don't care if it's the title game. I don't care if it's the last day or whatever it is in September. It is Georgia-Alabama.
No, I agree with you. And first of all, you use the right word. It is a blessing to have the job that I have. And that's how I feel about it. It's how I treat it. But from the game standpoint, which is most important, you're right. It's huge. This has been a game that in the last three meetings has determined a ring. It was an SEC championship twice that Alabama won. Unfortunately, right. The one that was lost was the national championship. But in the last nine meetings, that's the only loss Alabama's had against the Bulldogs. There have been some great games, some classic games. But at the same time, it's been a pretty successful run for the Crimson Tide, and hopeful that that will continue to be the case in this one. You're right, too, in that while this one does not have a ring on the line, it still has that feel to it. It's actually the SEC opener for both teams. So there's a lot to be determined well after this game. But for the fans and from a national audience and perspective, this is about as big as it gets this time of year.
What do you think of, Kalen coming in and taking over for Nick? It's just staggering that job. Like, I think it'd be one of the hardest things to do in sports history. Really, when you think about it, it's like replacing Bob Knight or Mike Krzyzewski or any of the greatest coaches, Lombardi. You could do Hallis, John Wooden, Bo Schembechler. How in God's name did that guy have the stones? I mean, I don't know anyone that would turn down Alabama. You sure didn't. He didn't. I've always wondered why Brian Kelly walked away from Notre Dame. I thought that was kind of a candy-ass decision, to be honest, because he hasn't done anything at LSU except cry and complain. He never did that when he was at Notre Dame. How do you think Kalen is handled walking into those slippers?
You know, he's handled it as well as anybody possibly could, because I've never seen in a guy, and I had a chance to travel with him a lot before he ever coached his first ball game, because we had a lot of speaking engagements where he was doing town hall type of appearances, and I would be the moderator or just do the conversation with him. But I've never seen a better combination of humility and self-confidence as what he has. He is very confident in who he is and his ability to bring a group together and lead them. At the same time, there's not an ounce of arrogance that I've seen in the man since he's been there. It's not false humility. He's not whistling past the graveyard as if he's pretending he's not understanding of the challenge that lies ahead. But here's the difference. And you mentioned all these other places and scenarios, Scott. But I was a kid, but I was alive and was here. Right. And saw Ray Perkins follow Bear Bryant.
Right.
Which was obviously an amazing task, very difficult. And every coach since Bear Bryant walked back on campus at his alma mater in Tuscaloosa, every coach has had at least one 10-win season. But only three have won national championships. Coach Bryant with six, Coach Stallings with one, and obviously Coach Saban with six as well. But the difference is that program, by Coach Bryant's admission, was slipping just a little bit when Coach Perkins inherited that. Coach Saban left a program that had just played in the Rose Bowl and was a minute away from playing for the national title, where they would have played against Kalen DeBoer's Washington Huskies. This program was in great shape, and Kalen DeBoer left a great program for, frankly, an even better one historically, and one that's probably in better shape currently from a foundational standpoint. So I don't see any reason why, just except for the fact that the league is an absolute meat grinder, that he won't be able to come in and keep a level of success that Alabama fans are accustomed to and take this back to a playoff situation and a championship contender once again.
I got to tell you, I think tomorrow's going to be fascinating. I want to see – I think Jalen Milroe has been great so far, and I want to see him, take on that defense, that team, that explosive ability where they had a bad game in Lexington, but they still won the game. So I can't wait to see how he does and how they do against Georgia tomorrow night. It's going to be incredible. Chris, again, congratulations. Nobody better deserved that gig than you. All the hard work you've done.
Thanks.
Have a blast tomorrow night. Calling the game.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
You know, I can't wait to see who Carver Hyde is taking in that game Saturday night when we talk about it later, because there's a lot of people that I know that talk big about all their big bets they make around here. And then there's those that actually do bet. There's two sides to every story. There's a lot of people that have every game, you know, they got it all figured out. And then there's actually people, I'm over here betting on games and losing like real money. No one ever talks about losing around here either, but I lose money and it's just an awful experience. And I want to know who's got the stones to make that bet tomorrow, you know, with some money, not just all their lying that they do. There's a lot of liars. Oh, $1,000. Oh, I got a double teaser reverse. I got a 16 parlay going here this weekend. Yeah, sure you do. Okay, yeah, whatever. I'm just looking forward to it, Carver Hyde, to see if you're betting on that game, actually, or if you're just going to sit back and watch it like you do your Bills games. So what do we got here for Thursday night?
Let's get to Thursday night. And yes, of course, I'm playing the Alabama-Georgia game on Saturday night. I'm not going to be not sitting it out, that's for sure. Here we go. Giants and the Cowboys tonight. We've already heard from some of the particulars. -5.5 at this moment for the Cowboys. 45.5 is the total. I mean, we've had some fun with it the last 2 days. I know that the Giants have absolutely no shot here tonight. They've got no chance. I will say I like the over more than anything else here tonight, Scotty. I like that more than a side.
Yeah, I like the neighbors over, whatever it is, 70 and a hook. I like that a lot. And you know what? I mean, what do I have to lose here? I'm so invested in the Giants tonight for reasons of, all the geniuses that I listen to talk about how they have no chance at all. Listen, if like Daniel Jones has seemed to me to figure out that on multiple occasions that there's only one choice in their offense and it's neighbors. Let's get real here. They suck unless they throw the ball to him. So if you have to throw the ball to him 15, 20 times a game, and he's that young and that explosive, then do it. You know, guys, once they, you know, turn 33, 34 years old, they're finished in this league. So when they're 22, 23 years old, I don't want to hear about it. I'd throw the ball to him 15, 20 times tonight and beat the Cowboys. I'll take the Giants and the points.
Yeah, and look, obviously I have lots of numbers for you involving this game. This is what I do to you for every primetime game. I try to give you as many numbers as possible. Underdogs of 6 or more points. Now, I just told you it's 5.5 right now. Some places it's still 6. It's bounced around a little bit. But big dogs in general, 12-1 against the spread so far this year. So that is one thing that we have to keep in mind tonight. Here's one that we don't like.
Glad we got the shot of him when he was fat before he lost 100 pounds. Glad that, you know, we thought today would be a good day to bring back those memories of how fat he was with that picture right there. The guy weighs 120 pounds now.
Daniel Jones in primetime, Scotty, not pretty. He's 1-13 straight up in primetime games, 0-5 on Thursdays. So Thursdays in primetimes have not been kind to Danny
Dimes. They should cancel the game. I mean, this is pretty obvious. You know, there's a Hurricane Fiorella going on in Florida, and I think because of that, they should cancel the game. And because Daniel Jones is so awful on Thursdays and on primetime games that this game is a waste of time. Why would the NFL have ever scheduled a game between these two teams and rivals in the East tonight of all nights? It's just unbelievable to me. I mean, literally, those numbers right there are so staggering. I think after the show, I'm going to cut my hands off.
One more, of course, you always love the most bet player props for tonight. Giants and Cowboys, the most bet player props. Singletary over 16.5 receiving yards. Rico Dowdle over 9.5 rushing attempts. Daniel Jones over 31.5 rushing yards. Lamb over 80.5 receiving yards. Prescott over 1.5 touchdown passes. Of course, Prescott, Scotty, has owned the Giants and the NFC East over the last few years.
I think Dak will go over. I think CD will go over. I think Neighbors will go over. And I think Daniel Jones will go over in rushing because he's always in such trouble. He has to take off running. And he's pretty damn good at that. He's way better running and getting first downs than he is passing. But now he has a star receiver that gets open. I have never seen, Mike, in a long time, a guy get open the way this guy gets open. His routes are automatic. He's wide open. I mean, he just gets wide open.